Hundreds of families have spent the better part of a year waiting for the state of Arizona to help provide their loved ones with a life-changing medical device. KJZZ's Ben Giles reports that some families say the state has let them down.
3-year-old Grayson Pierce was born with a rare genetic disorder that's left him physically and developmentally disabled. Doctors say he has excellent receptive communication skills. That means he can understand what you're saying. What he can't do is talk back.
Do you want to make it big? Yeah, okay, watch me. Big. Watch me. Grayson, watch me. Yeah, big.
Grayson's speech therapist blows up balloons and lets Grayson flip through a custom-made picture book. He easily identifies what he sees, but he can't sound out the words.
He can say ma, and that's as much of a word that he can do. He can do things that makes that lip, so he can do that, but he can't follow through. He can't articulate. So usually he just screams a lot.
Over a year and a half ago, Grayson's mom, Katie, started gathering prescriptions to request an augmentative communication device from the state. It's also called a speech-generating device. There's a screen with a grid of images for a variety of words or common phrases. Grayson can press those images, and the device will sound out the word for him. A July 1st evaluation confirmed the device is medically necessary.
I was a little nervous with the evaluation, like, well, maybe they won't, and then that would end it there. But once we had that evaluation, they reaffirmed that this is going to be the best thing for Grayson. He's so lucky, things like that. Then we were like, okay, we're good.
Just as Katie submitted Grayson's evaluation to the state, the Division of Developmental Disabilities stopped processing them. On February 18th, 8 months later, Katie finally got her response. Grayson's request was denied. The state says it responded to 314 outstanding requests like Grayson's in February. Ann Ronan, an attorney with the Arizona Center for Law and the Public Interest, said at least 301 of those individuals were denied. Now Access, Arizona's Medicaid agency, says the division is out of compliance with state and federal regulations. That has something to do with what Ronan called the eerily similar reasons the state used to deny devices.
There's sort of a boilerplate. You didn't provide us with sufficient, for instance, you didn't provide us with sufficient medical documentation of a diagnosis of autism, or you didn't provide us with sufficient documentation of a diagnosis of a receptive and expressive speech delay.
In January, state officials pledged to provide, quote, specific and individualized information to each request. But Katie said the cookie-cutter language in Grayson's denial doesn't make sense.
What are we missing, you know? It doesn't really tell us exactly. Besides, we don't have a clinical assessment. Well, I gave them that. I gave them every single thing, and we made sure of that because our support coordinator at that time made sure we had everything.
Ronan said Katie's not alone in her frustration.
In almost every single case, the very documents and documentation and support that they're claiming isn't there is in fact there.
Ronan says the denials appear to be based on new or misinterpreted policy. She says the division has circulated guidelines with overly restrictive requirements that don't align with Medicaid.
This is a change in the eligibility criteria. It specifically denies specific types of devices, and it creates requirements for authorization that are new and different and affect eligibility.
That means families submitted requests under one set of rules. Now those requests are being evaluated using new criteria Ronan said was written in secret.
The policies and procedures that they are now using have not been published. They have not been set out in the public for the public to view and comment on. And they are being used to actually deny a service.
Ronan sent a letter in January to the Department of Economic Security and Access outlining those concerns. Dr. Kara Christ, the interim director at DES, declined to be interviewed. The agency sent KJZZ a written response that repeatedly stated no policy was rewritten. They described the months and months families waited for answers as a, quote, temporary pause to ensure existing policy was being followed. Cynthia McCluskey, vice president of the Autism Society of Greater Phoenix, said she's never seen families experience a situation like this.
I know they had a system that was working, not great, but it was working, and then they designed a system that suddenly was denying almost everyone. Who could look at that and not think it was malicious?
Access has a regulatory role to ensure the division is following the law. On March 4th, the agency sent the division a letter stating they'd failed to comply with federal and state requirements for authorizing speech-generating devices. Specifically, Access stated the division failed to issue timely and accurate responses and failed to provide individuals with reasonable or reliable means to challenge their denials. The notice gives the division specific instruction and deadlines to correct its erroneous policies. Meanwhile, Grayson still can't talk. Katie says she'll appeal, but she has no faith that the state will live up to its mission to help her son.
And that's what I thought that DDD is supposed to be about. It's supposed to change and help empower families, but it's not.
Ben Giles, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And Ben joins us in studio now to talk more about this. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's back up for a bit. Can you explain what government agencies are all involved here? It sounds like there's a lot of sort of overlapping responsibilities at play.
Exactly. So the core agency involved is the Department of Economic Security. And within that, there's a Division of Developmental Disabilities. But there's also Access, because Access is Medicaid in Arizona. And Medicaid requires certain levels of coverage for a lot of these young kids who need devices like this. So Access actually contracts with DES and DDD to get that done. And Access says that contract was violated, among many other things that went wrong here.
Were you able to find out anything else that kind of gives us an idea of how this got so out of hand?
Well, the notice to cure from Access, that's the letter to DES saying you done wrong, is pretty crucial, because before that, there wasn't much clarity going around. You got to keep in mind that even some of the division staff, they seemed in the dark about what was happening. Parents were calling them, asking for questions for months, and there's support coordinators that are supposed to be the go-between between the agency and these families, mm-hmm. and the support coordinators were telling them, we don't know, we have nothing to tell you.
So it sounds like you didn't get all of your questions answered either.
No, there's still a lot of unanswered questions, like what did the division think was so wrong with this process, with the criteria that they were using to evaluate these requests, that they just would stop processing them. They said on July 1st they hit that temporary pause, and they didn't tell anyone about it for months. And we also don't know, I wish I could find out, how many of these devices were denied in the past. There's nothing to compare this to, but at least 301 out of 314 devices being denied certainly doesn't seem right on its face.
In the responses that you did get, what policies were DHS officials referring to that they claimed, you know, weren't being followed properly here?
So they cited a policy called for durable medical equipment. So we're talking about kind of the hardware that helps you heal. I had a device like this that helped my knee stay loose when I was recovering from ACL surgery, and I remember this was durable medical equipment per my insurance. They kept referring back to that, but what attorney Ann Ronan shared with me were these other documents, and I think you could call them procedures. You could call them policies. I don't think it matters at this point, but those documents had all these requirements that aren't in the durable medical equipment policy that DES kept citing. So Ronan said whatever it was, policy, procedure, it was documentation of reasons to deny these speech-generating devices. And Ronan said that specific document was flawed.
So that's the attorney Ann Ronan, who, by sending these letters, was sort of tipping off the state that she was going to sue or was prepared to sue. So after Access responded last week, is a lawsuit still on the table?
So Ronan said she has the okay to sue, but she's not going to, at least for now. She's kind of in this wait and see mode. I think it depends on how the state responds to these families going forward. You know, I talked to multiple families involved, and there's really a lack of faith at this point that the state is up to fixing this situation. And in some ways, how do you trust the agency that left you in this bind to begin with to clean up after itself? I think that's a real concern. The families are probably going to be looking to see what the agency has to say to them now, as they're supposed to respond and reevaluate all these requests. Mm-hmm. And again, they're so frustrated. They've spent 8 months almost completely in the dark. I did hear that there is some encouragement based on the Access response, but both the families and, by extension, Ronan, the attorney, they're going to be watching very closely to see how these are evaluated.
And quickly, what more are we going to be able to find out about this? Like, other than the order to fix it from Access, what are the next steps here?
Well, again, the good news about that order is it's not just an order to fix what happened. It's also kind of a fact-finding mission to find out what went wrong, which is part of what we were looking into. At one point, I had been told by Ann that there was some kind of an internal audit that triggered this whole event, that someone internally at the division thought there was a problem going on, and that's why they paused it. I put in a records request for that audit. I haven't heard anything back, but I know that DES now has until March 18th to hand over a whole bunch of documents that, you know, outline their criteria, their workflow, kind of point to who was involved, who was in charge, what's going on. So if we can get our hands on those types of records, that actually might provide some clarity.
All right. KJZZ's Ben Giles. Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you.